This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's also Monster Monday, presented by Merit America. Visit them at meritamerica.org/super. We're asking, how are the Niners 6-3? Like, how would you answer that? You know, like, to what would you attribute a 6-3 record? Let's go to Tom in Sonoma. Hi, Tom. Thanks for the call.
Hey, Willard. Hey, Dibs. Happy Monday, guys.
Indeed.
So, I love your question. I say it's the third easiest schedule in the NFL. The teams they played are average or below average, and they haven't played a top contender. Brock Purdy, I feel, I'm concerned because he's going to have some rust. He is not up to game time speed. And you're right, that could be a big issue trying to get there because you can't do it in practice. That's what I got to say, guys.
Tom, can I ask you something real quick? I'm not going to refute the comment, but I'm interested by it. Quote, they haven't faced a top contender. Rams and Seahawks don't count?
Tampa?
I consider Tampa and I consider Rams right now average teams.
Average? You think the Rams are average?
Yeah, because when I look at Detroit and Buffalo, I put them above average.
Interesting. You know, okay. Yeah. Tom, thanks.
Appreciate their opponents that they've faced so far have a winning percentage of .466. They have played three teams with 6 wins. They played Jacksonville with 5 wins. Houston with 3 wins, and then the Giants with 2, and New Orleans with 1, and Atlanta with 3 as well.
Atlanta has 3.
Their
yeah.
opponents are 34-39 on the year.
Yeah, no, I'm not here to tell you that it's a great schedule, but I'm agreeing with what you said earlier, which is I actually think it is low key a harder schedule than what we made it out to be before the year started.
No doubt. And of the remaining 8 games, they play Seattle and the Rams. They have 6 wins. Carolina is a winning team. Chicago is a winning team. Indy is a winning team. Those are all remaining.
Yep.
So of their remaining 8 games, there are 5 against teams with a winning record. And Chicago's better than we thought. Carolina's better than we thought. Indianapolis might be the best team in football. Nobody saw that coming. So at the end of the year, the schedule will look and it will have been harder than what we thought back in August.
Yeah, I agreed. I still don't think Carolina and Chicago are great football teams. I think that, you know, given some measure of health by the 49ers and the fact that both those games are at Levi's Stadium, I think those are games that they should win or they will be favored in. But they are lose-able,
yep.
right? They're not pushovers, I guess. And I think we thought at least Carolina was definitely going to be. Green Bay learned that yesterday, even though I think that that was a little fluky with the way that one sort of played out. So, yeah, look, I think that there's some tough games left. There's some ones, you know, Tennessee stands out as something real easy. But when you just factor in that 4 of your 17 games are against the Rams and Seahawks, just that alone. And then when you start throwing in the Colts and the Bucs and a few of these other teams that might be, as you said, better than we thought, throw in Tampa Bay. And then there's your mid-range stuff that's like, well, these aren't great teams, but they'll certainly give you a damn game. That's where Jacksonville and Chicago and Carolina and even Arizona for me sit. And so the whole like, oh, dude, it's a walkover. How many of those do you have on the schedule? I'd really argue maybe 3.
Remaining or
no,
for the whole year?
No, the whole year. New Orleans, that's kind of a walkover. I think Tennessee, and by the way, doesn't mean you're going to win them for sure, but that's kind of like, okay, New Orleans, Tennessee, and maybe yesterday,
yep.
but I didn't feel that way going into it. I did not feel that way going into it. That's the first home game that Jackson Dart has lost. Like, he beat the Chargers and the Eagles in that stadium already this year.
And what was the spread? 2.5?
2.5.
Right. So Vegas is telling you that it was not a walkover.
Right.
And you look at the schedule back in August, and I looked at that game as, oh, yeah, you're going to beat the Giants. Like, whether or not Jackson Dart is the starter or not by then, nobody thought that Cam Scataboo would be as good as he was, and then he got hurt. Malik Nabers, great wide receiver, he's hurt. We didn't know that you wouldn't have Bosa or Fred Warner or Pearsall. You probably figured you may not have Ayuk, and I don't know if he plays at all this year, honestly.
I mean,
the more I think about it, I mean, they may open his window, and then they may just close his window.
Or they may not. By the way, among the news items today, Brandon Ayuk's practice window will not open. And I know that Kyle Shanahan had said a few weeks ago the whole week 10-ish kind of a comment for Brandon Ayuk. Well, this is week 10, and the practice window is not even open. So that doesn't mean, like, if the practice window had opened, that would not have necessarily meant that Brandon was going to play this week. That just means that he would have started to practice. And once you open that window, then you need to activate the player within 21 days, or then it goes away and the player has to go fully on IR for the year. So this would suggest to me that not only does he not play this week, I don't think the 49ers think that he's even 2 games away, most likely.
Yeah, and to me it makes the most sense to open his window to where you can use the bye week as part of the 21 days, and that way coming out of the bye, if he's then ready to go for week 14, you could activate him. I'm less concerned about Brandon Ayuk and more concerned about Ricky Pearsall, who continues to not be even close, it seems, to making an appearance.
They said that he had a chance this week. Here's exactly what Shanahan said on Pearsall.
They couldn't confirm today he'd be available this week, so we'll take it day by day, but continue to evaluate him as this week goes.
And then there were further reports that said he has a chance. There's a chance to play this week. But
okay.
He could not confirm that he'd be ready, was the words, if you missed what Kyle said there right at the beginning of that comment. Could not confirm that he'd be available.
Well, how could he? I mean, he doesn't know until Wednesday. Tomorrow's an off day.
They come in for treatment on Monday.
Sure. So you come in for treatment, and then
they saw him today.
Right. Until you see him on Wednesday on the field, you have no idea how he's going to look or whether or not he can even make it through a full practice on Wednesday. And, you know, until he goes through a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, there's no way they're going to put him out there. And that's been the same story with Brock Purdy. If Brock Purdy can't take the first team snaps on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, then you probably won't see him again this weekend.
So the rest of the sort of newsworthy stuff today, Mykel Williams did suffer a torn ACL. Was it an MCL also or a meniscus that they added?
Meniscus.
Meniscus, yep. Also torn. But they sort of, Shanahan referred to it as kind of a good one, a clean one. He feels like it'll be fully healed and ready to go. Next year, they asked if the Mykel Williams injury affects their trade deadline plans.
No, that hasn't changed anything. I know those guys are working around the clock on just any possibilities and stuff, as they do every single year. But no, this happening hasn't changed anything.
I disagree. I don't believe you.
Yeah, I do. I mean,
I don't.
I think that they were going to look to bring one or two people in anyway, regardless of it. So just because Mykel Williams got hurt doesn't make them more aggressive. I think that they were going to be aggressive anyway. So the fact that you lose another body, maybe it just means that you're going to look to add an additional player. I don't think that if Mykel Williams didn't get hurt, that they wouldn't be active in the trade market.
I agree with you.
So to that extent, I don't think that affects it at all.
Here's how I think it affects it. I think that they would have been on the trade market even with Mykel Williams. Now I think they're definitely going to make a deal. I think there was a scenario where last week you get Keon White and you pick up Cleveland Ferrell, you go get 2 sacks, Ferrell's one of the guys who gets it, and you're bringing Bryce Huff back this week. You could have said, you know what, there just isn't quite the deal out there for us, so we really value our draft picks, and we're getting Bryce Huff back. So this kind of gets us back to where we were at the Atlanta game, and we chased Penix really nicely that night, and we're going to get back to that. Let's roll. And now with Williams going out, and don't forget that Yetur Gross-Matos also hit IR by getting injured in practice on Friday. So those two bodies going down. Yes, Bryce Huff is coming back, but I think there is literally no way that the Niners do not make some sort of a defensive line move by 1 o'clock tomorrow. And if they don't, count me as very, very disappointed.
Yeah, they need bodies. So I don't think that they're going to make a major move. I think it'll be, like you said, maybe a middle move. And I know today there was an edge rusher traded for a fifth-round pick that could get bumped up to a fourth. That's the kind of move that I would anticipate, as well as maybe another plucking off the practice squad, because you need more than just one body for a defensive line group that's getting pretty thin.
Yeah, no, there's no question, but I think the other thing I've noticed about this trade deadline chatter, there's a lot. First of all, there's a lot of teams that want a pass rusher, but there's a lot of them available, supposedly. There's a lot of them that are the subject, and we've seen two go already today because we woke up to the news that Jalen Phillips had been traded from the Miami Dolphins to the Philadelphia Eagles for a third-round pick. That's sort of what's at the top end of the market. The really, really big names that you hear, I just don't even think are available. Max Crosby, Trey Hendrickson. I don't think those guys are going anywhere. But the Dolphins are open for business. The Titans are definitely open for business. I know you had a conversation, it sounds like, over the weekend that makes you think that the Jets are not open for business. But I think the Jets might be a little bit, at least a little bit, open for business.
I just thought with Quinnen Williams. And
They're not getting Quinnen Williams.
I don't think that they're going to get rid of Quinnen Williams,
yeah,
is my point.
Agreed.
If the Jets want to do other smaller moves, it's possible. But when I look at the Jets situation, it seems to me that with a new coaching staff, they're going to be more interested in holding on to their controllable pieces. And their defense has been okay at times. And, you know, they're coming off the bye and coming off their first win of the year. So I think that with a new regime, new coaching staff, you're going to be less likely to really try to strip that thing down because you need good players. And if you have whatever good players you actually currently have, you don't want to just trade them for draft picks because draft picks are unknown. Quinnen Williams is a known commodity. He's a good player.
Yep. Probably too good of a player. I mean, Quinnen Williams was the pick behind Bosa, right? Yep. It was a third pick in the draft.
Right.
And, you know, he is nowhere near as good as Nick Bosa, but that's shopping at the top floor. And I just don't think the Niners would do that. Now, his teammate, Will McDonald, has 3 sacks and is a controllable, how old is he? Will McDonald, 40 career games. He's been in the league for 3 years. You know, he's been a starter for the Jets both last year and this year. He is a defensive end. He is a pass rusher. He has 16 and a half career sacks over 3 seasons, 2 of them as a starter. It's not an expensive play. He's not owed a lot of money. That probably cost you a 6th-round pick, maybe. Maybe a 5th-round pick.
Yeah.
That's the kind of guy I'd love to see the 49ers go get tonight or tomorrow.
Yeah. Interesting you mentioned Quinnen Williams. That draft went Kyler Murray, Nick Bosa,
Quinnen Williams,
and then you know who went 4th?
Ooh, I do not remember.
Current Niner.
Really?
Cleveland Furl.
Did he really?
Number 4 overall.
I didn't realize he was that high.
Yeah, I was doing the show. You were just sitting there to be actually factual, and we were at Raiders camp. That's my Greg Papa, for those of you scoring at home. And we had Cleveland Furl on the show. He came by the table out there up in Napa. So I got to meet the young man.
Well, that makes him your guy.
Well, kind of. He is
real
now.
Kind
now
of.
He's back.
No, that's your guy.
He was
that's
not
how,
my discovery.
That's how it works. That's what I'm told.
Yeah. He's my guy.
Yeah, that's
big
your guy.
Big sack yesterday.
Yeah. And, man, you see these guys up close, and whatever, he's in like a T-shirt, and after practice, it's
humongous,
like,
human beings.
Gigantic.
Yeah.
Gigantic.
Yeah.
But all business, too. Like 261 pounds of just pure business. Not a lot of excess in there.
Yeah.
Cleveland Furl.
Cleveland Furl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or Furl.
Whatever.
It goes back and forth. Do we have any confirmation on is it Furl or Furl?
It's Furl.
Okay.
Believe me.
Oh, right.
As a guy who's, you know, when you go that far back.
Yeah, you've met him.
Yeah. So just looking at the Niners and the D-line, yeah, they need probably 1 or 2, maybe even 3 more bodies because, like, the snap counts yesterday, Okwuanu played 72%. And Mikel Williams only played 51%.
Yeah, but Mikel was there for months. Like, he didn't get hurt till the 4th quarter.
Right, but even at that, that's my point, is he only played about half the game.
You get Bryce Huff back, though. That's one body.
Yep.
That's one extra body.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, Alfred Collins has been good. Kalia Davis has been good. But you need somebody on that edge who can just absolutely pin them back and go out there and get them.
888-957-9570. Kicking around, what should the Niners, what would you like to see them do at the deadline? And why do you think they're 6-3? How have they arrived here? For me, these two questions are completely related, because if you believe you've arrived at 6-3 because you are in some way, shape, or form effective and actually good, then you owe it to this team to do something, not to go all in. I'm not crazy. I don't think the 49ers are a Super Bowl contender, but to anybody who sort of brings up that point, like, ooh, you're not a Super Bowl contender, I don't know what your answer is. I'm like, I don't care. I honestly, I don't. That does not knock me off of the season. I don't believe that an entertainment entity should run itself that way, as if to say, we're here to win a championship only, and if we don't feel like we can do that this year, then everything below that is a waste of our time, and we should just completely go all in on the future. Because I think if you do that, then 95% of the time of your existence, you're going to be all in on the future, and that's not fair. That's not fair to fans. It's not fair to veteran players on the team. There's value to me in the 49ers making the playoffs, and then you take your chances and see what happens when you get there, because you have no idea what kind of ride or run you're going to get if and when you get into the playoffs. You don't know what other quarterbacks are going to get hurt. You don't know. Hell, the Niners could win this weekend and still compete to win the division. And now you're a top four seed and you're hosting people in the playoffs. So these things to me are possible. Probable, maybe not, but possible, and you have to play for that.
I don't even know what that means, to be honest. Super Bowl contender. Like, if you are the Jets and you're 1-7 and you just won your first game, okay, you're not a Super Bowl contender, and Miami and Tennessee and Cleveland and Houston and blah, 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 we could run through the list. I don't even want to use my carbon dioxide blowing out air to even list those teams. Fine. If you're a team that makes the playoffs, you are a Super Bowl contender. Last year, Washington, they became a Super Bowl contender because they went to the conference championship game. And if they win that game and they go to the Super Bowl, well, then you're now, by definition, actually contending for the Super Bowl. So the whole thing about you not being a Super Bowl contender is lazy radio and it's nonsense. Are you a team that can make the playoffs? If the answer is yes, and I think the Niners are in that group, absolutely, then go ahead. Get in the tournament, win a game, win another game, win another game, and now it's a home game in the Super Bowl. You're a Super Bowl contender.
I don't disagree with you. No, I don't disagree.
It's crap.
No, but you have to listen. To me, aggressive but smart. That's what I want the Niners to do between now and 1 o'clock. Yes, you need to bolster your team. Yes, the reality is, whatever you think about the team, they are 6-3. And so, yes, you have to, in some sense, quote-unquote, go for it. But there are different ways of going for it. There's the caution to the wind, go for it, or there is the aggressively smart way of doing it. The 49ers should not be on any phone call that involves a first or a second round pick, and probably not a third round pick either. I don't think that player exists. I don't think there's anybody like that available. I think it would be dumb for the 49ers to sort of dance in that space, even if it was, because the reality of the matter is they do not have the personnel on their roster right now that makes a run like you're talking about likely enough. Anything is possible, okay, Zaza? Anything is possible. So you allow for that, and you help your team, but you don't get reckless with it. Don't be stupid about it and start throwing assets away to go for something that's wildly unlikely. That's irresponsible to me.
Of course it is, and the key is going back to 2022 when they traded for Christian McCaffrey. They didn't throw caution to the wind. They traded four picks to get a guy, and they needed one guy. They were one player away from, in their mind, being a team that could compete for the Super Bowl. That defense wound up number one in the league in yards allowed, number one in the league in points allowed. You had a team that really couldn't run the ball, so you thought, if we get a running back, a really good one, that we can control for a couple of years. He'll help us now. He'll help us later. Let's go for it. Let's get the one guy we need. They did it. They went to the conference championship game. Brock Purdy's arm fell off, and the rest is history. My point is, you look at this team, and you go, all right, we got 6 wins. We're right in the mix. We should go for it. Well, you're not one player away.
Right.
You need an offensive lineman. You need a pass rusher or two. You need a linebacker, and you might need some help in the secondary as well. And quite frankly, receiver-wise, you're one more broken rib away from a lot of Sky Moore and a lot of who knows what. So I don't think you look at this team and think about what you did in 2022, which is, man, if only we could run the ball, .. And so you got a running back, and you took off. This team does not have that one need. And so you have more than one need. Therefore, you kind of do what you're talking about, which is you make some incremental moves like they've already done.
Talking out the Niners situation the day before the deadline here on 95.7 The Game, and it's presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. All right, back to the phones we go. Jose in Oakland next up here on Willie and Dibby. Hi, Jose. What's good?
Hi, guys. How's everything? Well, commute is not as bad as it usually is this time of the week, but I guess it's the time of the year. People are on vacations or something. But anyways, going back to the 49ers, are they contenders? You know what? As a team, they have to think that way. If they don't, then, I mean, what's the point of playing? You know, you're not going to go in, well, we're going to play. We're really not contenders, but we're going to see what we can do. That doesn't make any sense. As far as them being smart, aggressively smart, like you say, I understand that. I mean, they're not going to be stupid and go in and offer 3 first-round picks for a no-name player, but see what is the best option out there and go for it. It doesn't make any sense for you to be saving draft picks if your draft pick next year is going to be in the middle of the draft anyways. At this point, you're not going to be picking up during the first team first team players. So what is the point? It doesn't make any sense. It's like trying to save your best pitcher for game for the next game, and you're on game 7 already. You know, let the soccer warm up and go out there and do something. Just like Madison Bumgarner did. I mean, that's the mentality they have to go in with. And they owe it to the team. They owe it to the players that are not coming back. I mean, we don't have any Bosa or Warner that, he's injured, but he's coming back. We're going to get him, before the playoffs. They're not coming back. There has to be a way to replace those players. As far as worrying about the money, salary cap, listen, Trent Williams, I highly doubt that he's going to be in the team next year because the guy is just not worth the money he's getting paid. And there's probably going to be a few other players that are going to be let go. So do what you can right now. Let me tell you something. How did we arrive at the record that we have right now? I hate to say it, but Mac Jones is a lot better than I thought. Okay, and I even feel dirty saying that because Brock Purdy is my guy, but Mac Jones really has impressed me. And most of the other players that are playing right now, they're too dumb to know they're not that good. Okay, sometimes,
Wait, who are you talking about, Jose? You got to put a name on that one.
No. What I mean is, sometimes you have teams that they say, well, they're still learning how to win. These guys are learning how to lose because they haven't been there. They haven't lost a playoff game. And usually that's what, help some teams get, to places that they didn't know they could get. That's how the Giants won their first championship game. They didn't know how good they were, but they didn't know how bad they were either. So well, instead of learning how to win, they were learning to lose. And I think that's what we have right now with the defense we have.
Jose, I actually love the point in general. I will add to it a little bit. Thank you very much for the call. And just so you know, somebody did just text in on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line from the 650 and say, that's a no for me, dog. So some of you are very tapped in. You've been listening to the show for a long time, and you know who's who and what's what, and we appreciate the hell out of that. So there's that. The other side to it, I think what Jose's talking about, it can get a little whimsical, but I'm here for it. And here's what I mean by that. Jose's kind of saying, look, at the end of the day, You have to believe because you don't know otherwise, and that's what sports is. I am not a fan of any fan, executive, whatever, in talking about the things that your team can't achieve. If we all knew exactly how things were going to play out, then sports would be super boring.
Right.
Okay? The Warriors have won 4 rings, right, in the last 15 years or so. 2 of them, you totally knew they were going to happen. 2 of them, you totally thought weren't. But they did. And that's why they're more special. So you have to be here for that, and you have to put your team in position to go for that. But there is a but. Not at all costs. Not at all costs. Because then you're just you're chasing ghosts, and you're constantly in a state of go for it. In other words, let's take that Jose's point to the field. Do you go for it on every fourth down? Are all of the fourth down, because you can get them. Do you go for all of the fourth and threes?
No, of course not.
Okay. Like Dallas just went for it on fourth and goal from the 3.
Yep.
And Dak got sacked.
He sure did.
And you got super excited because Guru is somewhere hucking a remote off of the wall.
He's got Aubrey.
Because they should have kicked a field goal and they didn't.
Well, that's interesting because they put up the analytics of, man, you know, fourth and less than 5 from less than inside the 5. Go.
Go. Yeah.
It tells you to go, which I get it. And it's different when you have a good defense versus a terrible defense.
There you go.
If you're Dallas's defense, well, yeah, Arizona's going to go on a 96-yard drive because your defense sucks. Now, if you're a good defense, then yeah, you go ahead and go for it. But it's to your point about the risk-reward, and like Jose was saying, the great caller, you know, what do you do now? Do you go for it? You kind of do. You go for it-ish, but you've been asking all day, how is this team 6-3?
Right.
And you go through, and you look at the opener against Seattle, and the game's in the balance. You make a play, you win. You beat New Orleans because you're better than them. You take on Arizona, the game's in the balance, you make a play, you win. You take on the Rams, and yeah, you play your best game of the year,
yep,
and still, you needed overtime, and you needed another you make a play and you win kind of thing with Collins on Mykal Williams at the goal line, and then you lose to Tampa, they're really good. You lose to Jacksonville, Jacksonville's better than most people think, and then just when it seems like the season's going down the tubes, you beat Atlanta. All right, we're hot again. You lose to Houston, then you come back. You beat the Giants. So you're 6-3 because you've really handled the games you're supposed to handle. And then the up-for-grabs games, you've won the majority of them.
Right.
You've won 3 of the, I'll say 4. Like Tampa flat beat you, and Houston beat you up. And the Jacksonville game, the Ram game, the Arizona game, and the Seattle game, those were up-for-grabsy.
Right.
And you're 3-1 in those games.
Well, look. Take the biggest trade that has happened, actually second biggest trade that's happened in the calendar year 2025 in Bay Area sports. What's the second biggest trade that's happened in 2025?
The second biggest trade. Well, the Devers would be the biggest, right?
Oh, see, I would say Jimmy Butler was the biggest.
Oh, then that was this calendar year?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I would say Jimmy Butler was the biggest.
Bigger than Devers?
Yeah, okay. I think so, because the Warriors are closer to things than the Giants are. Here's why I asked that question. Would the Devers deal have been dumb if Rafi was a free agent at the end of the year?
It wouldn't have been totally dumb, but yeah, kind of.
I think it would have been incredibly dumb.
You weren't in a go-for-it mode, to your point.
At the time of the Devers deal, remember, you were a good team because it was well before the deadline.
Yeah, you're like 10 above.
You were a good team, but I don't think you're definitely not in a spot where you're like, dog, we're the Giants. We're going to be swinging it here coming into the room. We're going for it all this year because we think we are the big dogs. Even though everybody in the world could look at your own division and know you're not even the best team in your own division. But the Devers deal made sense. Why? Well, because you got like, what, 7 more years of Rafi Devers on the team. Okay? The Jimmy Butler one. There's all the little idiosyncrasies of that one. You're sort of in a go-for-it mode, but you also know you could re-sign him, and that one was about a shorter period of time, but not necessarily a short period of time. In other words, would the Jimmy Butler deal have made sense if you weren't going to re-sign him? Just for this year?
Not
going to make sense.
Yep.
So that's kind of how I feel about the Niners. If you're doing anything that's big and it's just for this year, that's stupid. That doesn't make any sense right now. You're not the big dogs on the block, but you're good, and we would like you to try. And that's why I love what Kyle's been saying every time he answers the question. We're active. We're looking. If we find someone who helps us this year and beyond, then we're in. And I think that's exactly the way they should be looking at it.
Yeah, and they're going to look at it like that and also try to preserve their draft assets the best they can, which means you're looking for somebody who you can have and hold for this year and beyond while not burning a first or a second round pick.
Sorry, you sounded like you were about
to
do...
For this day forward till death do us part.
You were doing wedding vows.
Little vows in there. Yeah. Trying to validate.
To have and to hold from this day forward
until the contract runs out.
Or your contract through your
exactly.
Part. Yeah, I like that.
And that's kind of what you're looking at. But, you know, you're not trying to ship out a first or a first and a second.
No.
You're trying to part with some of the picks that you have and some of the compensatory picks that are going to be coming your way. And I mentioned earlier that you got three comp picks coming, four free agents that have left, probably 2/4 and a fifth. So you're going to have extra day two, day three kind of draft assets that you can part with. And that's really where you're going to be doing your shopping.
This is the last 30 minutes we've got before the deadline is done. It's at 1 o'clock tomorrow. So like by the time we get in here, I firmly believe we will have something to which we are reacting with regard to a new acquisition for the 49ers. If you looked at the faces of the coaching staff, and I know you've watched the game twice, so I'm sure you caught it. There was a moment where Kevin Harlan, I think it was Harlan, and not the the color analyst.
Trent Green. Melanie Collins on the sideline.
Williams goes down, and they pan to the Niners sideline, and it was one of the assistants. I can't even remember which one. And
I think it was Kasarik.
Yeah, I think it was Kasarik too. And the head just dropped. And they're just like, can't believe it. And Harlan goes, the look says it all. And the Niners, it's one thing after another. At the same time, y'all hopped on a plane to come home, and I bet it was a pretty lively plane flight home last night because you won by double digits. You have won 2/3 of your football games so far. You have reached the second half of the season, and you are coming home for right now what stands to be the test and the game of the year. And if you win it, my God, you're in a catbird seat. So how, if you're John Lynch, can you get on that plane home last night and not think to yourself, I got to give these guys something. I got to give these guys something. That's my job here. My job here, what I can do, I can't high-five them down on the field. I can't throw a block to spring them loose or anything like that, but what I can do is I can give these guys something for what they've achieved so far through immeasurable adversity. He's got to do it.
And he's done it. I mean, he's done it every year.
Exactly.
He just did it with Keon White and Cleveland Furrell. So
even bigger.
I get it, but he's doing it, and he has done it. And, you know, it doesn't mean that you have to bring in a Christian McCaffrey or an Emmanuel Sanders or Jimmy Garoppolo or any other huge, high-priced, big-ticket item. And I was thinking about it in terms of shopping and like shopping for booze. And there's a reason why they call it top shelf, because the expensive booze is literally on the top shelf.
Exactly.
And when you get down to the bottom, last night I was in the aisles looking to get some vodka for a little Sunday night nightcap, as we are wont to do. And so the usual vodka we get, it's not top shelf. It's a second shelf vodka. They were all gone. So I'm looking and I'm thinking, I can't go third shelf, because then the wife will be like, this is a third shelf. And I'm not going fourth shelf, bottom shelf, because we're not doing that.
I love that they stick it down there. It just embarrasses the hell out of people. You see people on their knees.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, my God, you're on your knees. You're going to spend $7.
Oh, yeah.
The late, really, great
Dwayne Dibley, rest in peace. If the vodka came in a plastic bottle, he was all about it.
He was laying down in the aisle.
Yeah, as long as there was a V or a Z in the name and it was a plastic bottle. That's what we're going to do. But finish the analogy, the Niners are not going top shelf shopping. They're going for the second or the third shelf. That's more, I think, befitting of where they are. They're not going to trade a first-round pick for a top shelf defensive end. They're going second shelf or third shelf, and maybe they're going to get two bottles.
The other big thing that kind of came out of the Kyle Shanahan press conference, as you might expect, is some discussion about the quarterbacks. There was nothing really definitive on Brock's status for this week. Ian Rappaport did have a report over the weekend that Brock, quote, has a chance to come back against the Rams. Then again, I do feel like Rappaport, Russini, maybe a little Adam Schefter, all of these people have reported about 737 Saturdays in a row that Brock Purdy's got a chance to play next week. So I don't know if he's any closer. Kyle did say he was not that close to being able to play in this last game. But here's the real banger, and I love the way that it was asked. Does Mac Jones' solid play, and whatever way you want to describe yesterday, you can. I thought he was really good. Does that kind of play allow the 49ers to kind of sit back on the Brock Purdy thing and hold him out longer so that they can ride the Mac streak and make sure Brock gets fully healthy? Listen to the answer.
Brock's status and bringing him back at all contingent on how Mac Jones is playing. I mean, in other words, if Mac is playing this well, can you afford to, you know, kind of wait out Brock and wait and see when he's healthy?
Yeah, they're not related. I mean, this is Brock's team. If Brock's good to go and everything and play and can play like Brock, there's no decision to be made. It's just nice as we go through this with Brock, the uncertainty of the toe, it is cool to have someone playing as good as Mac is, but they're not related.
I want to ask you something that's in a different direction from the way we discussed this last time we talked about it. The first thing he says after it's not related, this is Brock's team. Is he responding to himself? I wonder, because remember now, I'm not overthinking this. Companies like this have a PR staff for a reason. Once you hold a press conference, sometimes there's a discussion that then needs to be addressed the next time someone speaks publicly. Because listen to what Shanahan said about the quarterbacking situation just last night, okay? This is after the game against the Giants. First, how close was Purdy to playing in the game?
We'll reassess it the same way we did this week. Wasn't that close to doing it. Considered it throughout the week, but I just want to make sure he gets 100% better and don't put him out there too early. Thought about it as a possible backup or emergency, but I think the more time we give him, the better.
Okay, I want to make sure he's 100% healthy, he says. But in the next breath, listen to this.
You know, we're trying to ease Brock out there into practice stuff, but I mean, anytime you're dealing with his turf toe, it's something that probably won't fully go away all year. You know, regardless of when he comes back, he's going to always have to deal with it a little bit, and especially the people you talk to have gone through turf toe. So it's really about just assessing when's the best time to come back that you have to deal with it the least, and it's a little bit of a tricky decision.
Okay, I'm glad he at least acknowledges it as a tricky decision.
Right.
Because he says in one breath, we're going to wait till he's 100% till he comes back. The next breath is he's going to be dealing with this for the rest of the year.
So he'll never be 100%.
Right, and then comes back the next day and immediately is like, y'all, this is Brock's team. So I'm not saying he's battling himself with this commentary. I do think this is tricky for Kyle, too, because it's pretty easy to slip and send mixed messages.
Well, he's battling the narrative of there's a controversy. Whenever he's ready, there's a controversy. And I was mentioning this earlier about Arizona. Might have been off the air about, you know, sources. Might have been on the air about, you know, Kyler Murray. He might be healthy enough to go, and I know he's inactive tonight, but there's a sense among some near Arizona and the team that the players might actually think that Brissett gives them a better chance to win, blah, blah, blah. There's more of a controversy there than there is here. There's no controversy. And I think that this is Kyle's way of saying, this is Brock's team. We want him to get healthy. We want him to be 100% before he plays. He probably won't be. He'll be dealing with the toe at some point, no matter what. But it's Brock's team. So in other words, we're going to be patient with Brock. It has nothing to do with Mac and how well Mac's playing. I kind of think it does, but he'll never say that.
Do you?
I do, yeah.
I don't.
I think if they were 4-5, they might be more motivated to put Brock out there with a toe that's not 100%.
Motivated, sure, but I don't think that means you do it. Like, listen, remember that they've already been through this. They already put him out and got burned once. I don't think they want to do that again. I know that teams are motivated and desperate and all of those things. At the same time, I don't think that it forces them as much as it used to 20 or 30 years ago to stick people out there who are hurt and not at their best. Like they do also, in addition to really wanting to win, they also really want to protect their investment. I mean, this is now, there's a lot of money sunk into this guy.
Yep.
And you do
yep.
not want to get flippant with his health. So I think that's part of it too. I actually think that they're very comfortable and confident with who Brock Purdy is, and therefore I don't think Mac Jones' play affects this decision, because if it does, then in one way, shape, or form, you're sort of falling into that, like, yeah, we're going to stick when and ride the hot hand. I don't think they do that. I think it's just, you have to whittle it down to one thing. Do we think he's healthy enough to play like his normal self? And as soon as they answer that yes, I think he goes.
But I don't think that he ever will be to where they're going to feel comfortable that he is 100%. And so I do think that at 6-3, you can be more conservative about how you feel about his ability to go out there and, quote, be himself. Because if we were in a situation where it was a playoff game, I think that Brock Purdy would go out there. If Mac Jones was struggling,
maybe,
I think Mac would try to tough it out. But you're 6-3, and you've got, what, four more games until the bye? Yeah, you've got grass.
It's all grass.
Grass and grass. Yeah. So you've got four more games, and maybe you can continue to have him get better through the bye. That would be five more weeks of the toe getting better, and then he might be 100%.
We're sponsored by the California Office of Traffic Safety and Caltrans, 888-957-9570. How do you want the Niners to ride this fence between Brock and Mac based on all you've heard? Got some more time for your calls. 888-957-9570. It's Willard and Dibs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And I'm laughing because of Lucas's face.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way it went. And by the way, also confirming that, like you and me, Kyler Murray is wearing a hoodie tonight. He's actually wearing a hoodie.
All right. There you go.
It's the number one indicator that you're like in a chill mood. I'm wearing a hoodie. Maybe the world can pick that up as kind of a phrase that we use for like, I'm chilling. How you doing? I'm wearing a hoodie. Anyway, it's time for Triples for Autism, which is brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners in the Autism Society, San Francisco Bay Area. The Warriors made 12 three-pointers in the loss to the Pacers on Saturday, which means another donation from Pettinelli to the Autism Society San Francisco. 7 for 7 on donations so far this year. Steph Curry had 4, Draymond 2, 5 others had 1 apiece. If you would like to get involved, and we would love it if you would, to make a donation to autism yourself or to get involved, go to sfautismsociety.org. That was Triples for Autism, brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society, San Francisco Bay Area. Pettinelli is here for you, offering financial guidance and support throughout life's milestones. Go to PettinelliFP.com. And one more reminder that the kickoff show Sunday is ready to go. Hall of Fame nominee Lo Neal, Evan Giddings, 11 a.m. at Laughing Monk in Sunnyvale. And we'll have all the games and the food and the drink and all of that. Remember the free shuttle from Laughing Monk to the game and back. It is free, but it fills up quickly. So go now to 957thegame.com. First come, first serve. That's where you sign up and reserve a spot. The free shuttle at Laughing Monk this Sunday. Niners, Rams. That's going to be a hot ticket.
No doubt.
This weekend.
No doubt. It's a big game. Always a big game when the Niners and Rams collide, but especially this year in this spot where
it was crazy.
Yeah, first place on the line, and you know, 11 wins for this division may not be enough to win it.
May not be enough to win it. You get in.
I think three teams get in.
Yeah, you get into the dance.
I think all three of the teams at the top are going to make the playoffs.
They're going to have to all be really good when they're not playing each other. They're going to all have to keep, because those games are all still ahead, right? Seahawks have not played the Rams yet. Niners have games against each of them still left. They're going to start beating each other up a little bit.
The Rams have played one divisional game.
Yeah. And
they lost it.
Yeah, 0-1. Yeah.
So, I mean, of their remaining 9, 5 of the 9 are in the division. So, yeah, there'll be some attrition as you play each other a bunch, but I do think that the Rams, schedule-wise, they still have Tampa. They've got Detroit in there.
Detroit still, right? Yeah.
And, you know, they got Carolina better than we thought, but and then they go to Atlanta. By and large, the Rams' schedule is not too daunting.
It's not crazy, but they're going to have that December in 4 days. They play the Lions and then go to Seattle. So whatever they're doing as they get to December 14th, it's very possible that they get a whop-whop. And they're going to get two. Again, they could win them both also, but those are losable football games. And so, you know, especially if the Niners were able to win this weekend, that puts them in a good spot knowing that the Rams have got some difficult stuff as things really kind of come to a head there, weeks 15 and 16 of the season.
Yeah, the Rams go at Niners, home to Seattle, home to Tampa is their next three. So
that's hard.
Yeah, it's very hard.
I know those two are at home.
Games are hard.
Yeah, those are... 3 6-win teams in a row.
Trades are hard.
For the Rams next 3 weeks.
No doubt.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
And put them away.
Seattle's got the Cardinals coming on a short week. Actually, that's off a bye. No, it's not off a bye. It's the ninth. I apologize. And then at the Rams, at the Titans, the Vikings, the Falcons. So Seattle's schedule kind of a little bit easier than the Rams.
It is for now, but they've got Colts and Rams back to back those same 2 weeks, 15 and 16. They've still got Minnesota, and obviously they still got to come here.
Yeah. Five road games remaining.
Yeah,
but Seattle's 4-0 on the road this year.
Crazy. Yeah. Mark in parts unknown has called in to Willie and Dibby. Hello, third Mark of the show.
Oh, wow. It's been three, yeah. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I'm traveling, but I've been able to listen still. And I just wanted to weigh in on, I think everyone knows what Kyle Shanahan's doing, but I want to say what I think he would say if he was telling the truth. Because I think everyone knows he's hedging. And, of course, Mac Jones, if he's looking better, there's a good chance they would just run with him. But he's good. If he was saying the truth, he'd say, I can't say that, though, because we're into Brock Purdy for a lot of money. We like him a lot. Sometimes we've loved him. He's got small hands. He drops ball in the rain. He makes some mistakes. He wasn't looking great before Mac Jones came in. So if Mac Jones is better, great. And there's a little secret under that, which is I'll look kind of bad if we just gave all this money to Brock Purdy and Mac Jones winds up being better and we run with him. So I'm going to let this play out. And they've already accepted their roles, so it doesn't upset anyone for us to say he's the starter and Mac Jones is the second string. And that's what I'm doing, but really I'm just covering my butt. I think that's the truth, but he's never going to say it.
Thanks. I mean, there's probably some of that stuff. I get it. I do think that we probably tend to overthink this stuff a little bit in terms of the drama that we attach to it. I'll fall back on something that I think you've kind of insinuated a couple of times today. If you're going to be a successful sports org,
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Organization. Are you aware of what people think? Yes. Do you care what people think? Yes. Do you act based on what people think? You better not.
No.
You better not. So if the 49ers right now are conducting themselves in a way where they're making decisions based on worrying that people will think that their contract for Brock is out of whack, then their insecurities have run amok. And I don't believe that their insecurities have run amok.
I don't think so either, but it is interesting and noteworthy that Shanahan is saying things like, this is Brock's team. And yeah, of course it's Brock's team. He is a guy you're about to pay $53 million a year to. You sign him to a five-year, $265 million contract. Of course it's Brock's team. But the fact that he hasn't played in about 6 weeks and his backup is out there winning games, and there is a clamor among fans to say, ooh, quarterback controversy at some point. We may have one. And yet he comes out unsolicited and says, this is Brock's team. I do think that that is intentional. And he's saying it not because he needs Brock to hear it or he needs the fans to hear it, but he's just reiterating that so that if we get to a point where, all right, Brock's healthy, Brock starts, Brock plays poorly, Brock loses, it's not going to be a controversy in his mind.
No, I mean, is it intentional? Maybe, but at the same time, can we throw out, like, what's the list of names so far that has publicly been like, this is Brock's team? Kyle said it.
Max said it.
Max said it.
Yep.
Feliciano said it to us the other day. I'm pretty sure that I've heard it from the likes of Trent Williams and George Kittle, at least in the form of an insinuation so far this year. Fred Warner has constantly said it off and on throughout the last 3 years since Brock Purdy took over. I've not heard anybody get into the whole idea of a quarterback controversy inside the locker room. That is something that, let's be real, this is our entertainment, and we as a sporting public, we love this stuff. We love this stuff. And a lot of us are making it up.
We're all making it up.
Yeah, those of us who are buying into it, we're making it up.
Right, and I do think about this Arizona situation as they march down and score, and they're about to make it 10-0, and Jacoby Brissett he looks pretty damn good.
Told you he's going to carve him up.
He is so far kind of carving him up.
They're so bad.
Dallas' defense is terrible.
They're so bad.
And Arizona is not going to make a bid now for the playoffs with Jacoby Brissett, but I do think that there's more of a drumbeat of a controversy there than there is here, certainly.
Grandy's about to talk on the radio. What do you think you're going to do?
You guys, along with Steiny and Goo, on the crossover.
Crossover, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing like a Victory Monday crossover.
Victory,
you know?
Monday crossover. We got to a lot of stuff, too, on the crossover, so that's good. And then tomorrow, Feliciano is going to be on the show. We'll do Grandy's grades. We're still adding more stuff to the stew here. Cosell on Wednesday. Kerr and the Summit on Thursday. So, and we got Warrior game tomorrow night. Oh, that's right. I'm going to make John come on the show tomorrow, too.
Yeah, John Bloom.
Voice of the Suns.
I love John Bloom.
Yeah, I'm going to go see him here in about 5 minutes.
Nice.
Yeah, beautiful. Okay, here comes Grandy, everybody. And it's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Do you want to do it again tomorrow?
Yeah, John Bloom's coming on.
Okay, then we're going to do it again tomorrow. All right, thank you all for listening. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.